From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Down a beard. Here on Declare Your Independence, I'm Ernest Hancock. Here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Let's get one. I'm so excited to talk to Rosa Corey, Executive Director of the Post Sustainability Institute. Post Sustainability. Why are we post of sustain? We're going to find out. Rosa Corey is a forensic commercial real estate appraiser specializing in eminent domain valuation. A former district branch chief for the California Department of Transportation, her 28-year career in litigation support on land use has culminated in exposing the impacts of sustainable development on private property rights and individual liberty. And then she goes on from there, but I want to make sure you guys understand. What's happening is here you have a liberal Bay Area, San Francisco, lesbian, lefty kind of man, as far left as you can get, and going to take, you know, the man's land away for public use. Have we gotten better an environment of what? And found out it's just for this developer, and thanks for doing work for us, Rosa, and peace out, and we're going to build a mall. And she's like, what up? This is not... Behind the green mask, UN Agenda 21. All right, Rosa, how far off was I?
Well, you're pretty close there. That's good.
I paint it. I mean, I get it covered. You know, I just want to make sure we know what we're dealing with there. So this is, you know, that's one thing, the story I'd like you to share with the audience. The point is that, you know, none of this, you know, stereotyping kind of, but that's not my point. My point is someone from a liberal background working for the government to do this in the name of the environment or something, yeah, that just kind of puts you checked off all the boxes, and then you realize something. How and when did you realize and that you had to do something about it? Why? What motivated you? Tell me the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened with me, as you said, I was a district branch chief for the Department of Transportation in California, litigation support person, expert witness. And, I was working on eminent domain for the common good, which is the real public good, which is in our Constitution, state and federal, saying that, yeah, you can take land for roads because this is for everyone's benefit. And then I got elected to a public oversight committee for a redevelopment project, 1,300 acres in my town. Yeah, huge. That's a huge area.
Wait. You got elected because why? Because you wanted to be elected? You ran? Y'all want to be in charge of this thing? But
no, what happened was I owned some property in this town I didn't live in, and some people came to me and said, hey, they're going to do a big redevelopment project here, and they want people to be on this citizens' oversight committee, and we'd like you to run for a seat on it because, you know, we don't know anything about this stuff. And I said, oh, great. You know, I had just read Dude, Where's My Country by Michael Moore. And I said, oh, I'm going to do some public service here. I'm going to get involved. You know, I'm going to.
Especially when it was your land, there was that bunch of Rosa Coreys coming after your land. That's a little bit different, wasn't it?
Well, no, it actually wasn't really that reason. It was just that, you know, I thought what I would do is assist. I thought at that point, I saw myself as a, you know, assistant with the government in helping people to understand what they were doing. I had no idea I was going to be in opposition to the government at that point. You know, in fact, I just thought I was going to, you know, be helping. And
let me
and
help then, you take the money the right, the land the right way. We'll get the right valuation. We'll do it right.
You know, I thought, oh, they're going to make the town look better. You know, redevelopment, it's going to make the whole town be nice, right? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's like most people think, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I took a look at the project, which they, you know, the people who are running it said, you want to see the project books? Forget it. You know, buy those if you want to see them. Cost me a huge amount of money. Anyway, I bought that. I reviewed it. It was fraudulent. I started to bring that information out, and the government went after me. The local government came after me, wrote articles about me in the paper, slandered me, slandered my wife, made our lives hell, and that was my red pill. You know, and I would say I was already red-pilled, of course, way before that with 9/11, et cetera, but that was different because those were Republicans, see? And I identified as a Democrat liberal. Well, this was a plan that was supported by my people. And when I got a look at it and saw that it was fraudulent, I found out that, hey, you know, globalism has no party. It's not about, it's about us against them, but it's not the Republicans against the Democrats.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there, sister. But what I need you kind of skipped over something there real quick.
Oh.
You know, they were the program that you kind of had, you know, this wasn't what I thought they were. They came after me. Why?
Yeah.
What was it that you were exposing? What was it that you had a problem with?
Well, what happened was, you know, I basically, just telling the truth in any of these plans is enough to bring the, you know, the powers that be down on you. Because it's not about truth. This is, you know, in fact, what it is they bring you into these, you know, they say to the so-called community, hey, come on down, give us your opinion on this cool new plan for the center of your town. And you go down there, and you think you're doing your community service, and they show you the options. But the whole thing is designed to bring you to a predetermined outcome, which is the plan is to get you out of the rural and suburban areas and into the high-density city centers,
yep,
where you can be more easily managed,
yep,
controlled, and surveilled.
Yep.
And this is what I exposed, and this is why they came after me. And this was my huge awakening, and I've just spent my life, which, you know, is the last maybe 13, 14 years, working on this. And that's it.
We want you to enjoy nature one day a month and on this predetermined path and bring your camera. And that's it. And
yeah, that's right, because you know what? The Wildlands Project, this is about wilderness. You know, everybody thinks they know what wilderness is, but there's an actual definition. The federal definition is lands that allow you possibly to enter but not remain. So this is one of the things about the fires. You know, when you're seeing these extreme fires out in areas like, for instance, the town of Paradise that burned a couple of years ago, that was surrounded by national forest and by state forest lands. And they, you know, the idea is that it can't be a real wilderness area if human beings are living there. So you have to be removed from the area and, you know, bring back wild carnivores, pulverizing your roads, turning them to gravel, monitoring your wells, burning you out with not cleaning out the forest undergrowth.
Now, that's the mechanism. That's the excuse. What's the real goal?
Well, the real goal is all totalitarian states have the same, you know, vision. They have a vision of the glorious future. They want to control all production and all and limit speech and terror. You know, they want to manipulate and control you. And this is what real change and transformation is. It's to destroy the existing nation state and to put a full globalization, full global one world government in its place.
Oh, I thought that's what lefties wanted. That's not what they want.
Well, that is true.
Yes,
well,
no.
You know, I think a lot of people don't think things through.
Whoa, are you becoming a libertarian or something? Are you conservative?
Yeah,
I mean, what's happening to you, Rosa? I know, I've known you a long time here. I'm seeing, you know what happens to good people? They get freedom-oriented. They just, once you learn the truth, how do you unlearn the truth? Especially when you've seen it up close and personal against your nose, like Rosa Corey has, behind the green mask, UN Agenda 21. UN? There's a UN thing in here? We're going to find out. Rosa Corey. from the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. Pirates! Gotta go pirate, Rosa. Pirate, 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 pirate. We're having some pirate fun. Piratewithoutborders.com. And the letters in there. We haven't done an environmental thing. You know, we've got like over a dozen letters from Captain Mark and Sidekick First Mate Reprisal. Letters of Mark and Reprisal. Then we have Dr. Idris Barber, which is the, you know, represents kind of the crew and the, you know, the doctor on the pirate ship. And then Captain Kidd, a 12-year-old. Male or female, we don't really say, you know, that has his own ship. And they always, what about the children? All right, well, talk to our, you know, children captain over here, man, and, you know, see what he has to say, or she. So this has been, we're having some fun in the rhetoric and the understanding. This is where I delve. And I'm wondering, what I'm going to, when we come back, what I'm going to emphasize is this Occupy thing. It was interesting to me that you have, you can occupy the sidewalk, and they'll you know, clean off you taking a dump in the gutter and everything, and you're fine there. But you can't occupy your own land. If it pleases the Crown, may I occupy my own land, not without an occupancy permit. This is what, just this summer, as I'm going around different states and looking at them, can I just go somewhere and just build? You know, no. You got to have an occupancy permit. And that permit comes with building code of blah, 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 which I find out goes back to United Nations stuff. And I'm like, whoa, they've been working on this a while, you know? So this is, you know, and that's one thing I'm, if I can occupy the sidewalk, but I can't occupy my own land. I mean, even if it's unincorporated out in the middle of the nothing in the county of desert of Arizona, I'm like, what the hell do you care? You know, all right. You know, don't discharge, don't pollute, you know, don't whatever, but so if I want to talk about that, here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Rosa Corey sitting in. We're going to get some learnification done. Now, we have Chris McMillan, truthconduit.com. He's an Autonomy Season 1 grad from Richard Grove's Tragedy and Hope. He's going to be at Red Pill. He's sitting in just saying, yo, what's up? We'll do some after show. He might even have a question for Rosa or three, you know, so we'll do that. But this is the one thing. Rosa, I got to ask this question. My whole thing is all this occupy the side, occupy Wall Street, occupy the park, occupy the sidewalk. I mean, you're perfectly fine there. You take a dump on in the gutter and we'll pressure wash it later and kind of put your stuff back. And I'm going, all right, fine. You know, it's kind of the tragedy of the commons. We got, you know, whether taxpayers or not, it's public property of whatever the heck is going on. But they're allowed to occupy the sidewalk. But you're not allowed to occupy your own land. And I'm like, whoa, let me get this straight. For me to live or put a tent from the sidewalk onto my own land, I got to have a permit for that. And just right off the bat, I'm like, well, where's the property right thing? You know, nope. Yeah, you kind of rent your property from the government. Don't pay your taxes and see what happens. And then I'm going, okay, I pay my taxes. Now can I, you know, camp? No, not allowed. Yeah, no more than some states are different. It's like 30 days over a year period and no more than 10 days at a time or some crap like that. I'm just going, damn, that very concept right there, Rosa, does that bother you? Or we got to have some laws?
Well, look, you know, that's that little conclusion at the end there, you got to have some laws. Yeah, you do have to have some laws, sorry. You know, the purpose of government is to protect the individual, and that's why we have borders. I know you and I disagree on that, but this is the fallacy with government is that you think you own your land, private property rights, right? Because you don't own the water and you don't own what's going on there, and that's why we have given over control to our local land use, you know, the planning commission and the planners. And, you know, the planners have been trained by the American Planning Association, which is all, you know, engaged in making this happen. They actually were paid $5 million by the President's Council on Sustainable Development to come up with a huge 12-pound book
that
trains planners on how to control your use of your land.
Well, I tell you one thing, you're not allowed to get the rainwater that the Lord done decided to give you.
That's right.
You know?
That's not your water. That is not your water. That water belongs to the collective. That water is for the common good.
Rosa, you're sounding so libertarian. The collective this and they're not. I mean, come on. What's your philosophy? How's it evolved? What do you call yourself?
I call myself an independent. I did do a walkaway video not long ago, and I think that it's important not to identify in particular with any particular group because we are individuals. We are clear-thinking individuals who are educating ourselves, and we're able to change our minds. This is not our religion. We don't have to accept stuff that's just handed to us. We think. We think for a living, for our lives.
Well, what do you think the structure of see, we do the declaration thing. You know, it's here's the deal, okay? You want a deal, here's the deal. The purpose of government is the defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter, abolish. It's your right, it's your duty.
Yes.
I'm hip to that. I mean, why do you have a government? You know, it's to protect you from aggression. You know, foreign demand, what it's, you know, get out of my face and make sure everybody else is out of my face. As long as I'm not in anybody else's face, we all say face. I mean, you know, it's all good. But no, you're doing it wrong. You got to do it. So who are we up? What are we up against? This thing, what is it? What's going on?
It's huge. This is what's incredible about this plan. It is a global plan implemented locally. So it looks different everywhere you are, but it's actually the same plan all over the world. And the goal is to block dissent before it forms. They use the educational system as an essential component. Corporations dominating government. This is fascism. And it's social engineering and indoctrination that's used to propagandize the public and neutralize opposition.
To what?
So really, for total one world control. It's the most efficient, easiest manipulation. This is, you know, take a look at China. That's a very good way to take a look at what's happening, what, you know, what the end game is going to look like. It's a social credit score. It's manipulation and total information awareness. This is full control of everything you do and full knowledge and completely permanent history of everything you've ever said and done, used against you, credit score, giving you a value. This is a new value system. This is a global compact that makes it so that it's ruled by bureaucrats. There's no one elected. You have no voice and no control. This is the plan.
Okay, now, Rosa, you came at this from your own awareness dealing with, they're using environment to do because we love the children and baby bunnies and all that kind of stuff. And you find out, nah, not so much. This is really more a control thing. But once you get into this and you start, once you scratch the surface, for me, it was economics. You know, it was trade. My father's company and sell camping trailers into Europe, blah, 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 blah. And I started pulling on this thread and I'm like, what the hell did I just uncover? And then I found out, no matter what it was, if you pulled the thread, if you asked the right questions, if you're like, nobody ever asks why anymore. You start asking why, which is what you're doing. Why are you, why? All of a sudden, we all come to the same conclusion. There's a they, them, those, and they got a club and we ain't in it. And we're gonna, they're going to take from us and we're not allowed to have nothing for their benefit if it sucks for us. And I'm going, whoa, that wasn't the promise. They go, yeah, you know, we were campaigning. You know, get over it. So this is, are we getting to where we're all going to start getting to the same thing, but we're up against something? What are we up against? It's a philosophy, an evil, a shadow, a something. What are we up against, right, you think?
It's communitarianism, and it says that the community, the larger global community, has that, you know, that as long as you agree with it, you're part of the community. You always think you're part of the community, right? Try dissenting, then you find out you're immediately not. It's the individual's rights against the global community, and the individual always loses. So as long as you go along to get along, as long as you, you know, toe the party line, you're part of it, you are free within the state structure. But do not try and step out of that because you are the enemy.
Okay, now what is stepping out? Define that.
Speaking the truth.
Well, which is what?
To go along. What?
Well, which is what? The truth of what? That you don't really own property? That you don't have control over your children? It takes a village to take your kids away? I mean, you know, what do we learn?
Yeah, all of the above. Hey, look, wherever you're at is where, you know, it's just like you said. You pull the thread where you are. Pull the thread where you are and take a look at where it leads you. That is where it leads. All threads lead to the same place, a full totalitarian control. And that's, you know, it doesn't matter if you start at education, at information, at law enforcement, at money, economics, at land, at politics. Wherever you are, you take a look at it from there and you find it.
I think Rosa Corey, as always, from the time that she was coming to terms with this, you know, dang it, I'm, you know, I'm for the people. You know, I'm for, you know, truth, justice, and whatever this American way thing is with tolerance and the left of kind of, and what's happened over time is like, damn, those freaking freedom-oriented individuals, kind of, they were right. It's they, them, those, and they won't leave me alone.
Cell 411 is a...
They won't leave me alone.
Oh.
Well, are you feeling better? Yeah. You know, I mean, about, you know, everything? Are you kind of like, okay, at least it's being defined. There are people, I'm finding my tribe of something. You know, I can talk to conservative and not want to barf. I mean.
You know, it's still not. I mean, obviously I am. You know, I have my own personal history and I feel comfortable where I feel comfortable. And that's the reality. But, you know, I don't feel comfortable with people that I identified as my people anymore. So I am kind of in that space. But you know what? I always say awareness is the first step in the resistance. And that is very important to know because as more people become aware, the resistance grows. And that's it.
Yeah. I'm the resistance. To what?
Yeah. Are you like seriously asking me that?
Yeah, no, the resistance. You know, I go to someone else, say, you know, join the resistance. It's the cause. It's common sense. It's Thomas Paine. What's the cause? The cause. You know, resistance to, and I go, you got to define that. Resistance to what?
Yeah, but oh, it's huge, man. Mm-hmm. It's the Lung Association. It's your school board. It's, you know, charter schools. It's the mega corporations. It's big media. It's, you know, what isn't? What isn't Agenda 21? We aren't Agenda 21. The people aren't Agenda 21. The people who are speaking out about it. But, of course, there are many people who are going along with it or who are making it happen. So you have to bring more people to awareness. Everyone can be brought to awareness.
Yeah, they're aware, but they're also often lazy. or they're
okay,
something wrong,
true.
or they're indoctrinated, or they're chemicalized, or they're poisoned, or there's something. There's like a surprise. Okay, let's put it this way. I'll go all conspiratorial. I go, you know, with all this vaccines and fluoride and in the water and in the air and in the food, and them, it's like, it's almost like it's on purpose, you know, to keep you down, to take the edge off, dial down a little bit, take off the, 3% IQ or something. It's like it's
on purpose. You know what? I know you're not going to like this, but they just legalized marijuana. Now tell me that marijuana isn't a drug that makes you feel like you don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah, it's a demotivator. They go, we just give the people their marijuana and shut them the hell up.
That's right. That's right. You know, I had like a little argument with Alex Jones about it. But this is, you know, this is it. Hey, everyone smokes weed, fine, but do it after 5 o'clock and spend your time being active and getting this information out.
Yeah. I'm, you know, I want to help. I mean, you know, I'm all about, you know, that's what we'll do when we come back. You know, I want to, you know, your journey and your presentations and the book and you talking to people and, you know, over the, God, how long have we known you? God, 5, 6 years.
I don't know. It's like 10. Oh, I don't know. It's a long time I've been doing this.
Yeah, it's 15, been, it might be almost 10 years. Damn. You know, I'm wanting to hear your perspective on the audience, you know, how this has happened. You know, we got Chris McMillan in listening. He came by and visited. Is there anything you want to make sure you ask her and she addresses?
Rosa, thanks. Thanks for your book. I really appreciate it. What does it mean? What would you say it means with if a town gets Delphied?
Delphied?
You know, the Delphi technique invented by the RAND Corporation, where they get a town to agree to the sustainability standards.
I mean, do you want me to talk about
well,
that?
Well, yeah, you know, we'll talk about that, you know, when we come back.
It takes so long. It takes so long to get
Well, it's part of the story, it's the story that I want to get. Maybe we can work it in there.
I mean, I want to talk about
it. Here we go. Here we go.
Fit it in.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
I knew I would. Wow, I feel so good.
I feel good.
Yeah, we got Rosa Corey going to explain it to us.
I knew that I wouldn't.
So good. So good.
Woo!
Hey, Rosa. All right. This is what we want to do. I want to hear all about your perspective on how we're doing and rock and roll and whatnot, and the revelations that you've had as you have enlightened the people and the audience of this, you know, small, young, beautiful woman just coming in, going to tell you what's up from her perspective. And she has such a powerful message, a powerful voice, passion, conviction. And she goes, look, let me tell you what's up. Well, how have things changed, Rosa? You know, are they getting better? They're, you know, larger. You don't have to. You're not getting challenged as much. You got, you know, they, you know, you're not allowed to talk, listen to Rosa in polite company. You know, I mean, what's been your experience on how this has changed?
You know, what's really interesting, when I was, you know, first speaking, at first started really being aggressively speaking out, and, you know, internationally, Tea Party was very active, and now is it because Trump was elected? I don't know. The Tea Party is not active, so you don't have
because it got taken over by this Republican thing and was always meant to be. I know exactly what happened.
Whatever. I don't even care. The point is that the idea is that, you know, real people need to become more, you know, active, more verbal, more, you know, unafraid. But I am seeing, you know, like millions of people. I have huge. There's like 500,000 hits on one of my interviews. You know, people are actually out there. They want to hear this. A lot more young people are interested. A lot more people are talking about this and not being shamed to, you know, being told that, oh, Agenda 21, that's some conspiracy theory. That is not true. It is a conspiracy fact. It's real. So, you know, talking about it, giving this information to each other, getting the information and then sharing it, that is really powerful. And I am seeing that a lot more. And, of course, you've got to combat. The other thing is that the other aspect of this is that the resistance to us is stronger.
Right.
Because our voices are being
Well, have
raised.
You been shouted down at some college campus that Rose is not allowed to talk?
Yes, of course.
Looks like you made it.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what? I don't care about that. You know, the thing is that kind of stuff, I just find it amusing. I mean, it's just that these are really pathetic people who are...
But why? Like, oh, no, who has promoted them?
Don't tell me the truth. I can't handle it. I don't
right. Well, who's promoting these people to do this? Why would they come out, you know, with your philosophical background and connections, and married to a woman and all? I mean, you would think that you'd check off all the freaking boxes of they're not allowed to... not let you speak. You see my point?
No, because I am so dangerous because of that.
I know.
Because, you know, breaking through that membrane, actually standing up and going, hey, the emperor has no clothes on, man. The guy is naked. You can't do that and still stay in the nest.
And he's got really small hands.
Right, exactly. You know what? They use people like me as an example. They say, hey, you know what? You want to have what happened to her happen to you? Then keep your trap shut. Because,
well, what
you
happened
what?
To you? What happened?
Well, you know, we don't even have enough time.
Well, I mean, you know, just generally, I mean, are they, you know, you got a lot of attention, but, I mean, come on, some people love you.
Well, you know, it's true. I mean, I found out who my real friends were, and that was really a really interesting phenomenon. For me, that was a real transformation, and I love it. You know, I found that people who I really thought I related to, who I loved, who I was, you know, part of the left, progressive, all of that, that's what I thought of myself. Those people hate my guts and won't allow me to speak anywhere.
Why?
And, you know, because they have been indoctrinated and they accepted the indoctrination.
Of what? See, I'm wondering, there's nothing you say that's not true, that's not right and righteous and murka and whatever the heck.
Sustainable development. Sustainability. People are indoctrinated in that pre-kindergarten all the way to postgraduate school. Greta Thunberg, all this stuff, it's the children's crusade. This kind of crap is indoctrinating people continually.
Okay.
You cannot move without being filled with the idea that the planet is being destroyed, therefore it requires global response. Global response requires global governance, and this is how it's done.
You know, Chris McMillan's sitting in, he had a good question for you. Is about, you were saying the technique of something. What were you talking about?
The technique they use to make it look like a grassroots movement. If they hold a town council, and it's called, forgive my pronunciation, the Delphi technique. Is that right, Rosa?
Yeah, talk about that. What is he talking about?
Yes, it's the Delphi technique developed by the RAND Corporation in the 1950s. It's used as a mind control, mind development technique. It gives you the impression that you are having an impact on whatever the question of the day is, all the while you are being moved towards a predetermined outcome. So really, you're given the illusion that your voice is adding to the story. So, hey, what do you want to see in the center of your town? Some cool new plan for the center of your town. Come on, town. Give us your impression, your idea. It's a visioning meeting, a charrette. You know, whatever it is, we want to transform our town. What do you think? You go down there, you give your impression, you are actually being directed by their organizational management contractors to agree to a plan that has already been written. In fact, it's the same plan all over the world. And I know it sounds crazy. I'm not making it up.
No, here
the
in Arizona, they got
the smart
cities
Arizona.
Thing. Okay, I'm sorry. Check out what?
ASU.
Yep.
You know, the Hanoi Center Regional Plan 2030, same plan as the Plan New York, same plan as One Bay Area that I fought, that we sued.
Okay, this is what
same
they got
plan.
Here. They call anything that was sustainable development now used to be climate warming, warming change, whatever the hell. They got a building. So they came up with this smart city thing for the future of blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Bill Gates buys a bunch of land in the West Valley out here, hundreds of acres, going to build whatever you want. But don't make me pay for it. Why do I have to pay for it? Okay?
It's not just the paying for it. Listen, SMART, let me tell you something. SMART is an acronym. It's for sustainability,
control,
monitoring, assessment, rating, and tracking. That is SMART. This is not just, you know, it's not what it says on the face of it. It's not just about you paying for it. This is about transforming your existing culture, transforming your existing governance, your system of government into a system of governance. And you are not going to have a voice at all. You think you don't have a voice right now in your government? just wait. Take a look at the EU. 26, 28 countries that answer to what? The Economic Commission.
Oh, and you're definitely getting your shots, too.
This is it, man. This is it. That's right. You want to object? You want to refuse? You're going to find yourself on the outside.
So this Delphi thing is just a psyop to... I'm sorry. The psyop to make sure that you're there's emotional and peer support for and criticism of, and it's just a psyop to get, you know, maybe you're confused and everybody else knows and you don't, and the gaslighting thing. What? It's just, it's a big giant psyop.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's right, but it's got an, it's not, there's a real end game to it. It's not just about, you know, it's not just about a psyop. It's also about, this is communitarianism, not just making it so that you're ashamed and embarrassed and too shy to speak up, but also the idea is that you will accept the new transformed future. This is the hardscape for your future poverty, smart growth. These are where cities disappear into transit villages and transit-oriented development worldwide, and it's designed to fail unless it has huge populations in it. It gets you out and off of the land where you can be independent and into the city centers where you are dependent on government for your water.
When
your
they
food,
say I
energy.
Can't collect my own rainwater that the Lord done saw
That's
fit the
right.
rain on me, I'm going, what the hell is that?
That's not your water. That is the water of the collective. You do not have the right to it.
This it's philosophy took hold when? From where? You know, what?
Well, if you want to go back to the Fabian Socialists in the 1800s, we can start there, you know, or we can even go beyond that. But really, you know, this particular plan started in the 1970s, Habitat One, and then 1987, the Brundtland Commission, World Commission on Environment and Development.
Well, the things that are happening now in the Trump administration is Rose are going to say anything nice about Trump. Will her hair spontaneously combust? I don't know. Yeah, he's like all the rest of them. We'll find out.
Mutual aid, educational, and networking organization.
Yeah, you're gonna have to say something about Trump because you have to.
That's okay. I don't mind.
Well, you know, the thing is that when we were following, this is what happened. You know, we do the Levolution thing and Ron Paul and all that kind of stuff, and we're libertarian and we get it. Well. Then the Trump campaign, when he came down the escalator in July of 15 or whatever, there's a doctor here, Dr. Frank Tambury, good friend of mine, big, Ron Paul supporter that was against Obamacare and spoke at a bunch of Republican things or whatever. He calls me and he says, Ernie, or he sends me a text. He goes, now don't be a hater, but I want to come on every week and we'll do Trump Report. We've been doing an average of probably 3 hours a week, one day a week. We go and he and I go at it, and I'm like, you're still voting? And it's a Trump report for 4 years, okay?
Oh, wow.
I have been watching this circus. It is amazing the maneuvering that because he's not part of their crowd. Now, whatever he's part of, what he wants to do, whatever, that's a whole nother thing. Don't care. My whole thing is that, man, they, them, those, they will not go quietly in that good night, and they will use every resource and everything of everything to get this done. And here's one little tidbit that nobody emphasizes, okay? This is, I want you to, you know, kind of know this one. Here, wait a minute. Just a second. I think the stream might have went. What the heck? Check the stream. I don't know if it's going or not. So, what was the tidbit? I was. Oh yeah. This is the rhetoric that's going on. Last May, Zero Hedge reported that Comey and Brennan both admitted they were communists, and they voted for Gus Hall, or Brennan did, and they were communists, whatever, back in the 70s, and yada yada. I had to admit, because there was a, you know, really? Yeah, on video. And for Brennan, it was at a black caucus meeting of kind of something, and he was asked a question, you know, how do we get more diversity in the intelligence community? You know, what, you know, what's a prerequisite and what's a disqualifier? And then Brennan goes, well, I was forced to admit that I had voted for Gus Hall and communist or whatever in the 70s, and I believe in and kind of communist. I guess if, you know, if I can do that, you know, the door's wide open. So then you're sitting, and then Comey, you know, made a similar comment, and I'm going, wow, it wasn't a disqualifier. It was a prerequisite. This is coming.
Have you read The Red Thread by Diana West? You got to read that.
The Red Thread.
Red Thread.
Donna!
It's a short book. Short book. Red Thread by Diana West. Great book.
The Red Thread by Diana West.
You read it.
I got to get her, well, at least get her on and talk to her about it.
Oh, good luck to you, but I hope, yeah, it'd be great if you could get her on.
Yeah, you know, this is, I say have Rose on. You know, then she'll go, okay,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we're coming back in just a little bit, and where do you want to go?
I'll go anywhere.
All right, well, let's talk about it.
You want to go there with Trump? Let's go.
Yeah, I'm, you know, he's a side effect. You know, I could see this whole thing. It doesn't matter who won. The people were freaking pissed off, and if Clinton would have won, it may have even been better. I'm like, can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? I used to say that, you know, when Bill Clinton's election was up. I go, can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? You know, and we're kind of there. Mm-hmm. Can we leave now? You know, I'm just wanting to know.
Where are you going to go, dude?
Here we go.
This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, with a rebel yell! Oh, Rosa Corey, a rebel yelling. All right. Let's see if how far her transition has gone. Okay, we have the Trump thing, all right? I'm just like, you know, Trump. You know, this is what I want, Rose. This is what I want. I'm going, I want to see Trump, the movie. I'm waiting for the movie. It's going to be, you know, 5-10 years from now. It's going to be Trump, the movie. And I just, and we got Rosa Corey, the movie. We got that. There's so much that's coming. It's just, I'm entertained. Now, this whole thing with Trump coming up there, and he'll say, you know, a little bit of deregulation of this, and a little bit of local that, and a little bit we're doing away with, and kind of anything that he's doing of interest to you, you're going, yeah, we really needed Hillary. I mean, what's your position on the administration?
Well, you know what? I have to say I did not vote for Obama either time, and I didn't, of course, unfortunately, wasn't able to vote for a woman for president. I did not vote for Hillary Clinton. I did vote for Donald Trump. And the reason
You had a woman, you woman hating misogynist female dyke or whatever they want to call you.
Genitalia is no guarantee of the way that anyone is going to
think. Yeah, but that's, you know, from the community you came from, you know that that's what Hillary was counting on.
Certainly.
She was counting on that. You're a self-hating woman of something. She was freaking freaked out.
Yeah, I must be a deplorable.
Oh, my God. Rosa Corey voted Trump. I mean, one, you're still voting. But two, you're killing me. All right, go.
The few friends I had left completely left me at that point. But, you know, here's the thing is that obviously, you know, the whole thing is a game. There's no question about it. It could be that Trump is being used to push us even further along and, you know, to the extreme. I mean, look at the insanity of the Democrat herd. We actually are seeing a coup d'etat right now. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Agenda 21 is an administrative coup d'etat. We're looking at a real breakdown, a real collapse right now, and this furthers a globalist plan. Anything that destroys your existing nation state furthers the globalist plan. But Trump did not, you know, he didn't support the Paris Climate Accords. He didn't support, he supports Brexit. All of that is great. You know, the thing is, if we'd had Hillary Clinton, you know, it'd be a grease slide to hell. This is the best we got right at the moment. Let's go with it.
And a grease slide to hell. That bad?
That's right.
You said it about Hillary. Okay, how are you free to say, see, this is one thing that I respected about Rosa. She'd come out on her sleeve. I mean, you say that, liberal lesbian from Northern Cap, whatever, because that's what she says all the time. It's kind of the put on the front of the marquee is like, look, I'm from the freaking left, okay? No, this is not about that. But they've carved up all these different stereotypes or these different classifications of different whatever, sex you choose on Facebook or something. And they come in and they say, all these people are represented better over here, but they got to say what we want to say. And oh, my God, the Roses come out and go, nah, not so much. You're getting line, girlfriend. Get in line.
Yeah.
So this get in line thing, is it more voluminous with you? I mean, are they coming after and they try and slap you down because you're from the left?
I would say the worst thing that they're doing to me is ignoring me, and that is very powerful. And the reason for that is that they don't want anybody to hear what I have to say. And so, in fact, my book was put into the far right section of the UC Davis library, put in with, bombing texts on how to blow up synagogues and stuff. I mean, they want to make sure nobody sees it, and if they do, they have already a preconceived idea about what it's about. Because this is not, the liberal mindset, the left liberal progressive joke mindset is that anything that steps out of line is a tremendous threat.
Out of line of what? What is the main, is it just one world government banking of we rule, get in line
with
your livestock? I mean, is that it?
Is that all?
We just want your children to. Hey, man, it's always something.
Well, you know what? Hey, listen, what we're doing right now, this is dangerous. This is very dangerous. Speaking the truth is always the most dangerous thing you can do. You put people in prison and murder them for speaking out. Take a look at China. This is your future. If you don't use your freedom right now, no one's holding a gun to your head. Right now, you can say whatever you want. You can share that information. It is your duty, your job. To do it.
And you get
That's
fired and you get
we are.
You get outed, you
yes.
get doxxed,
hey,
you get something.
I lost my job. I had to lose my job basically because of this. And you know what? I survived. And that's okay because this is way more important. You got to step out and take it on.
All right. Well, how's your wife feel about this?
She's cool. She's great. She's right there with me.
Well, I mean, is she, like helping or it's like, hey, it's your thing, whatever. I have dinner ready. I mean, what?
Oh, no. She's totally, well, if you read my book, she was like, a vital part of this.
Awesome.
She was actually, attacked for being against Agenda 21. Yes, right. I'm not talking, the thing is, my partner's a general contractor. She built an entire house out of recycled materials. Everything I have on is used. I mean, we're not about being pigs, about destroying the environment. This is not about the environment.
You don't have a private jet?
Yeah, right. This is a green mask. You know what? All these people, a lot of these people do have private jets, and it's hypocrisy is not a qualifier for these jobs.
Want your televangelists looking successful and have, big jets.
That's right. You need your $500 haircut.
Hey, man, it is so stupid on its face. As a young activist in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, or a young family, we're starting to get, I'm going, oh, that which is this stupid does not last. And it's really stupid.
Yeah,
but it's
amazing. That was our mistake. We thought it couldn't possibly be successful. How stupid. Who would fall for it?
Right.
They have indoctrinated generations of children. And those people are now in your planning departments making those rules that you can't deal with.
All right, what's the solution, Rosa? Give me a solution.
Yeah,
what we got to do?
It's big. Come on down to the Red Pill Expo and check it out. And get my book, because there's a lot of great info in it, and I like to have a good time, and so a lot of it is fun. There's a lot you can do that's a lot of fun to participate in being part of the resistance, and that is a real thing, and you can do it. Get the information out. We have flyers on our website. If you don't like my flyer, make your own. Put it on people's doorsteps in the morning. Reach the people directly. That's the way
this
to do
is
it.
Information yes, people. That I think 2020 election cycle, there is so much accumulated information from a lot of activists and authors and people like you that have done the research, have lived it, that know you want to, I wrote a song about it, like, here it go. Well, here it is. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, in the top right, you'll see Declare Your Independence. You just go and click on that, and you scroll down on the right, if this is later, you know, because we're November 5th. Remember the 5th of November. Oh, see, you get to win that one. So we have, you go in, and at the right side of the show, or you go to Declare Your Independence with ErnestHancock.com, if you can remember all that. And you go down shows by topic and shows by guest. If you go here, you go shows by guest, boom. You go to Rosa, and you'll see all the times that we've been progression of this conversation with her. And I'm telling you that it is not just Rosa that's representing the left. There are people like you that are doing things for the right reasons, but they come up against what? You think that they're your friends. You think that they're your allies. You think, but they're not. Why? How did they get there? Who is funding this other globalization?
Honey, you are going to lose all your funding. You work for a university or a professor. You are not going to be working there any longer. You are not going to get your tenure. You are not going to be moving up in your nonprofit organization. You're not going to get that job as a director. You're not going to be able to be, you know, you won't get invited to the Thanksgiving dinners. You're not going to be, you're going to be socially rejected, politically rejected, economically rejected. It's a big risk when you're on the left to talk about this stuff and to actually break it down. And that's why you're not going to phone many people like me, because you fall out of the nest and they crap on you, baby. It's not easy to survive this. You've really got to be tough.
This is, you can see, wow, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 entries for Rosa and an article that she wrote for the magazine on Rosa Cora, Agenda 21. See, I'm just, man, you know, Rosa's out there fighting the fight, you know, and you guys helping? Help what? I tell you the truth, to understand what's really going on out here. And Rosa has been in the battle for a long time, and she's doing it for the right reasons. And that is what? Individual liberty, freedom, proper role of government. What do you think, Rosa?
All of the above. Let's take it all. It's our birthright.
Yeah, birthright. Because American or just human being? If it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? Well, we'll see, but that's the push we're going to have this election cycle. There you go. Thank you very much. This is one thing.
Thanks.
This is one thing. I'm really emphasizing two things in this election cycle. We got a bunch of stuff traveling around, and we're printing, doing stuff. But what it is one, I own myself, so this mandated vaccine, no exemption kind of crap. You know, I'm just going vaccine education summit. We just did. We had all the guys on. We're rock and roll and whatnot. So this vaccine, you know, just like Nuremberg conformed consent kind of basic, are you kidding me stuff. So I own myself. The other thing is, do I get to own property? If it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? So these are two different levels of the same thing. And I don't think a lot of legislators understand it, but that's why I'm doing this, is I want people to start understanding property rights as much as themselves as their own land. And this,
right.
I found out what it was. There was a legislator of the Free State Project in New Hampshire, a guy named Mike Sylvia, that you know, had been voting to cut government, kind of, so of course municipalities don't like him. He moves in to this one town. He got a burned out farmhouse with the property in the barn. He takes his RV, moves it into the barn, and starts dwelling, you know, or living or parking or whatever the hell you want to call it. So he's there, and they go, oh, no, you don't have your occupancy permit. And I'm going, whoa, that's it. I've been looking for it. It's not really a building permit thing. The building permit is to get your occupancy permit. So that's all. I trace it back to United Nations. It was all part of this sustainable crap, you know? And they harmonized everything from west of the Mississippi and then the northeast and the southeast, and they kind of made it one big building UN thing. And I'm going, that is the key. If they can say you can or cannot live on your own land, they rule. That's it. Done. And
that's You're right.
Boom. So this occupancy permit is the crux. I mean, have you come to that realization or thought of that or what?
Yeah, you can't get.
Now, why didn't you tell me years ago? I just figured this out now.
Well, you can have the building sitting there, but if they don't give you an occupancy permit, you can't get into it. That's it. You can't occupy it. They won't turn your water on, and even if you're out there on water, they won't. You know, they're not going to give you permits to pull your well, do your well and stuff.
Okay, now was this
technique? You're going to be breaking the law.
No, is this, you know, a stated thing? Hey, we got to have this occupancy permit thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What the hell? You need to lead with that. You know, I am admonishing you from now on and forever.
Okay.
That's the occupant. Right. I went years trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And it wasn't until this legislator there, and he go, well, they pulled my occupancy. I can't occupy until I did the building. It's not the building codes. Because I go back, I was just 3 weeks back east there doing some activist stuff and everything. And these guys, oh, you got to move to New Hampshire. I go there a bunch, you know, over the last decade.
New Hampshire, yeah.
Yeah, so I go there a lot. And they, you know, in the summer and the winter, we kind of party and hang, and we do, and HOTUS 2020 is coming up. And they go, Ernie, you got to move here, man. I go, why? I go, I got to have a permission slip. Oh, no, there's no building codes in Grafton here. There's no building code. I go, I guarantee I got to have a permission slip. And they go, no, you can. I go, let's look it up. I'm live on the air. And it goes and says, yep, to occupy, you must yada, yada, yada. I go, see, it's the occupancy permit. You're not allowed to dwell on your own land. You're not allowed to occupy unless you get. And then, ironically, they called it this Occupy Wall Street. Occupy this. Occupy that. But you can't occupy your own land.
You got it. That's beautiful. Real good.
Yeah, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land with a, you know, sign with the meme being a guy living on the sidewalk. I'm going to be a butthead about this because it's like it's like you say. Once you realize that they are controlling you because there is nowhere to go.
And let me just tell you something. Listen, yes, there is nowhere to go. There's no Switzerland in this fight, right?
Right.
And listen, you know what? Check it out, dude. What your point here is so good and so important because what you're saying is, yes, you can shit on the sidewalk.
Right.
But the occupancy, listen to me, the occupancy permit is really about your waste disposal. It's really about the idea that they don't want you shitting on the ground. And even if you have an enclosed RV, they say that you could still dump on the property, and that's why they're not, that's their story, is why they won't give you an occupancy permit.
Compost toilet, do your own separate, it doesn't matter, that's just an excuse.
Not acceptable. No. In fact, this is what, you know, this is how they close out the rural areas.
Oh, no. I tell you a perfect example. 3 years ago, I know you've probably got to go, but you got to hear this. This is good, good.
Okay.
A few years ago, one of the Ron Paul supporters and so on in their small community of Sholo in northeastern Arizona and the White Mountains up there, they go, we want to see the books. We have all these cops and fire and everybody and pension plans of what the hell? We're not going to be able to afford. We want to see it. Nope, you're not allowed. Well, I want to see, I'm a citizen, no, you're not allowed. Runs for city council, becomes vice mayor. Now I'm on the city council, I want to see the book. No, you're not allowed. What? So then I'm talking about it, and they say, Ernie, it's worse than you think. The League of Cities and Towns is part of this, you know, thing that has grown out, the mechanism that they
international,
do.
Yes, and it's the International City and County Managers Association.
Yeah, yep, I'm with you, sister. Let me go ahead and get this out, man. You'll understand. In the mid-90s, when they just did you know, the Rio and Kyoto and all that kind of stuff, they wanted to do a vote for regional government. And the regional government was like 96 or something. They had a countywide vote, and the John Birch Society came to us, and we had a printing press, an AB Dick 360 there, and they said, look, will you print up these flyers for me? Yeah, whatever, you know, I don't care. So it was 8.5 by 14, folded in half, 4-page flyer. And it talked about the Fraternal Order of City Managers and Fraternal Order of City Attorneys and the City Clerks and, you know, that kind of crap. And what they did is in one building in Chicago that had several addresses or something of it, at least 2 to 4 addresses in this big building, but they were all the same building with all the same people doing the same this development crap. And what they wanted was regional government, which meant at a county level, they had another layer of legislation. They would have county legislators. Instead of being a political subdivision of the state, they would be its own level, and we got a whole bunch of new jobs of, you know, eat out your substance kind of thing. So we do these flyers. We have the election. It loses like 50 point something to 49 point something. Then it goes away. I look back when they start doing the smart city thing. I go, this sounds a lot like what I want to see the legislation. You go back. There is no record, not on the internet, not at the thing, that election ever even happened. And I go, look, I'm not making this crap up. So I paid a couple hundred dollars to a good researcher friend of mine. I said, tell you what, it's worth a couple hundred bucks. So you go find this. He finally, after about a week, he found it in the archives of the Mesa Public Library. And it was the agenda. And I gave it to Patrick Woods from Technocracy.news. And I said, look, man, this is a continuation of this thing. So they're doing all this stuff. And I go, yep. They want to have this regional government thing. And what it was is the League of Cities and Towns were celebrating a few years ago that they finally got the 100%, the 99th community, all of them, the municipal corporations in Arizona signed up, League of Cities and Towns, woohoo, we win, because it's just like what they experienced in Sholo. You're not allowed to look at the books. It is a town manager run, get freaking over it, and we're going to get everybody to have to get a water treatment plant for $300 million. And everybody's got to be on it. We talk to these guys, and they always have the economic development guy. So I'm chatting them up. I'm not telling them who I am. I'm a concerned. Right. I just want to go and live and be free somewhere in Arizona. Who's going to be free and let me be free? So me and a friend of mine, we go up to Cottonwood, up south of Sedona up here. We go up there. We meet with the economic development guy, and he comes in and explains it to us. They had this big red tile roof development or whatever up there, and they had it split. One had got annexed by the town that had 50 gazillion cops. They had like, 40, 50, fire and police. And I go, for what? You're 5 square miles. Well, the people come up from the valley and somebody's got to give them traffic tickets. I mean, so this is, I'm like, oh my God, this is, a police force.
And then they get big pensions.
Yeah. No, and they don't want you to see the books. So this is the crux of it. What they did is they annexed this one side on one side of the road, and the other side voted not to be annexed. They're like, nope, but they're on their own septic and so on. It's like a development. So the economic development guy goes, well, we need them all on for the math to work on. We took over this private water company because the environmental somebody came in and said, yeah, you're doing it wrong, and you got to spend a gazillion dollars to take out the this pollutant of whatever, and it's ours now, and you're condemned. And they like, you sons of bitches. So the city took it over, did a takings on it, which you would have been in there evaluating of whatever. They took it, and then they had to fund a gazillion, hundreds of million dollar bond to do it, but they needed to annex more property. So they got these half of the guys to do it, and the other one's not. And I go, well, what are you going to do? They go, not a problem. We got friends at the EPA that are going to condemn their septic tanks and everything, so they have to, be annexed by
fuckers.
Us. Or, pardon me?
Yeah.
See?
Well, just their fuckers. That's
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so this, it. I sat there and watched it in front of my face admit this is how they do it.
Yeah, right. They have police powers. That's it, man. They have the police powers, and this is called strong mayor. And so there's a strong mayor, strong city manager. The City Managers Association and the International, City and County Managers
Association. Yeah, we rule you people.
They're the ones, now what's behind them is ICLEI. That's the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. They write these sample laws and regulations up, and then they give them out to different areas, and they say, test it for us. See how it goes. And all these different places around the world try them out, and they're all extremely, restrictive.
Are you at a computer? Are you at a computer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Put Smart Cities Funding Guide. Funding Guide. Maybe Freedoms Phoenix might help. Let me see. Yeah, go like that. Smart Cities Financing Guide.
financing guide in developing, I see, okay, just putting that in to, you know, just those first few words, and you get it all from all over the world, EU, Australia, India, UK.
That's smart. See, the thing is, ASU, it's Michael Crow, which is InQtel of they, them, those of whatever the hell, you know, and it came in with the smart cities. We got the trifecta, which is academia, policymakers, leadership, which means politicians, and industry, which means, you know, Microsoft and Intel and Google. Okay. So
smart
they
technologies.
Yeah, they're going to do it up. Now, did you get the smart cities financing guide? Okay. Now, open up the PDF. You know, go in there to the guide, and it'll give you a PDF. You open up.
Okay.
I just want you to see
this. Hang on a second.
Because this is
Center for Urban Innovation.
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay. So I'm
Smart Cities Financing Guide.
Yeah.
And it'll be a PDF, and then you open it up. Okay.
Got it.
Now, once you got the PDF, what they've done is, how are you going to pay for all this, you know, matrix plug in the back of your head and Bill Gates gets to build his smart city and you get to pay for it? How are you going to do that? Okay.
Yeah.
This is how.
Revenue bonds. Green
exactly.
Bonds, industrial revenue bonds.
There you go.
Qualified energy conservation.
Tap
bonds,
fees, linkage fees, impact fees, public-private partnerships, pay for performance, social impact. This is, and when you click on any one of these, what does it do? It goes to, and in this community for green bonds, well, this Swedish city doesn't even have to be the U.S. Well, this Swedish city did this.
This
Cincinnati did that. Chicago did this.
This is great.
This is it. So when
this
Patrick.
This is how they pay for it.
Yes.
And you know what? Okay, listen. One thing, I know you know this, but here's something to emphasize, and that is that these bonds, the way a bond works is you indebt yourself for 35 to 45 years for insurance, you know, for interest and the cost, and then they get the bond brokers give you the money right up front, and it's guaranteed by the property, by property tax and by sales tax within the town. So the town actually is the guarantor. That's why people have no money for, you know.
And that's
for,
why they need to annex
and
more
for all
people.
The other stuff. Yeah. You know what? I have to get ready. I'm going to have
No. Thanks for spending this extra time. I definitely wanted you to see this financing guide.
Thanks
this is,
for showing me that.
Yeah,
it's
no, this
really
is it.
Important.
Now, you do the Arizona Smart Cities thing. They're just laying it out. They want Ernie to have some fun. That was very nice of them.
Yeah. This is good. Thank you. And you know what? Here's the thing. They always publish their stuff. It's very easy to find.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start busting them on it, then they start hiding it.
Which is why we saved this PDF onto our servers, because I know this one's
good.
Going away.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. Excellent. That's it.
I look forward to seeing you, Rosa. Give a big hug. Love you.
Okay. Thanks. See you there.
Bye-bye.
Of both parties that were really the...
Okay. Well, that was fun. All right. We'll go ahead and start another segment we'll do with... our guest here, Chris McMillan, and we'll start with that. Hold on a second. Stop. Boom. Okay. You know, let's say hello to Chris McMillan. You know, it was a busy day, just like coming on in, going, you know, to see what's up. And I'm going, it's going to be a fun day. You're going to up the red pill yourself, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Wait. Let me put up the thing. All right, there you go.
Yeah, we left last.
You need to
Wednesday.
Get right up on the mic.
We left. We
tilt it up so you can be. If you need like two fingers like this.
How's that?
There you go.
Yeah, we left last Wednesday from East Texas, and we've been on the.
No, road. I'm just like this far away. You don't have to hold your hand over it.
We left. Yeah, we left last Wednesday, and we're on our way to Red Pill Expo in Mesquite, Nevada. So we're really looking forward to it. It was. I really appreciate you having me on and to interact with Rosa Corey. I read her book several years ago, and it really had a huge impact on me. So she's one of the speakers at Red Pill that I'm looking forward to speaking to the most at the moment. And so it'll be interesting to see what she has to say and interact with
her. Well, you kind of got a gist of her thing. You know, I tell you from it was you could feel it. When we were interviewing her before, and it's kind of like, we're going, the kind of liberal, and then she's pretty hardcore, you know, for being a lefty.
I'm quite shocked at the transition that I didn't know she's changed so much since I read her book anyway. I've kind of been keeping an eye on her website up to a point, but not so much. And you and I think, are both our jaws dropped when she said she'd voted for Trump.
You know, what my first response is I go, you're still voting? I mean, you know, you know all this and you're still voting. I mean, so, but that's just more, I can see why she, yeah, that's kind of surprising that she would admit it,
yeah,
you know, or come out and say it. So I'm, but she's really, over the years, I see someone like this that's really passionate and they want the truth and you just know what's going to happen. You go, someone like that either breaks, they walk away, or they just dig in and they get more and more and more. So it's good. She's spoken at her Freedom Summit. She's been at on the show quite a bit. We've talked to her over the years about, you know, a bunch of stuff. How did I first know about her?
I first heard of her through Richard and Lisa's podcast, The Peace Revolution. I'd never heard of her before that, and they put a segment on of one of her speeches, and it was blew my mind. And that was my first introduction to her, was through the Peace Revolution podcast. So I went straight out and got her book. And when was, I don't know how many years ago that must have been now, 7-8 years ago?
We had her on 2011, August. So August of 11. So that's like 8 years ago. Damn.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I accumulate these kinds of relationships over the years, and, you know, kind of bust their butt a little bit, you know, kind of, you know, get them to say it, make sure you say it, so that later you go, well, I remember you saying this. I got an archive, you know, and to see her progression that you knew was going to happen, because her real goal was, you know, truth, first thing. Who the hell is doing this and why and for what? And it's not like she'd say things like, yeah, you and I probably don't, you know, agree on the border and this kind of, I'm not even sure. Did she know I'm like open border or not? Kind of, I'm like, you know, I just don't want the government that, if it's all private property, then they enforce my private property right to defend, you know, my property from any side of my fence.
Yeah, she was very tactful about not labeling herself as well.
Because, independent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she'd get liberty. It's just like Naomi Wolf.
Naomi Wolf, yes.
Naomi Wolf, I remember I was introducing her at the Revolution March in Washington, D.C. in July of
What was her book? 08. 10 Steps to Fascism? That was
I think it was Nine Steps. Yeah, whatever, Steps to Fascism. But she, I introduced her. She goes up. You know, there's 10,000 people out there. Or on the Capitol lawn, she's, you know, that she, as soon as she's, you know, walking up, and I'm getting ready to introduce her, and she goes, Ernie, you libertarians were right. And I'm like, whoa. Because we had interviewed her before for Charles Goyette Show I was producing here in the Valley. And, you know, we were just like, look, all this stuff you're talking, what do you think libertarians have been screaming about all this time? Well, all of a sudden now they're going, damn, man, they called this stuff for the right reasons. Well, a lot of people coming at it from I came at it from, you know, international trade and commerce and my father's company or whatever. But everybody eventually comes across this stuff. And Rosa, to get right to the core of it, of the sustainable development kind of thing, as the excuse to rule everybody, because you don't get to occupy your own land without a permit from the crown. And the fact that she realizes that, how instrumental and critical that is, and I'm going, well, then why didn't you share that with me before? You know, golly, I got to come at it my own. Well, you know, usually you do anyway.
She really drug herself through the mud in San Francisco back when she found out all of these issues. And I can't remember the details now. It's been a while since I've actually read the book. But once she realized that the evil force under everything that was happening was, boom, the 1992 summit in Rio, Agenda 21, it all fell into place for her. But she really went through a hard time, and kudos to her for just pulling through, and she's still going strong.
I could see that. I tell you the one thing that she is disappointed is her audience. You know, they weren't as savvy. They were still in this partisan thing. They had to check and see what the Republicans or Democrats say they're supposed to think, how much. And it was the freedom community that she really got a lot of understanding, and like the Patriot, like the Red Pill, G. Edward Griffin, been around for decades, 50, 60, 70 years. I mean, oh my God. You know, that it's all the same thing. It is collectively, we rule you, and you dare not stick your head up and complain because, damn it. Well, she suffers. We all suffer. My thing is that it's only now, after we knew what technology was necessary for us to bypass the system. It had to have foreverism in online communication. And it wasn't even about, we see you. Good. You know? My whole thing is not being seen, not whether you see me or not. Now, I'd like to be able to, anybody can see me, when I want them to, and not when I don't want them to. But I don't really care about that part. I want them to see. Well, the thing is, they, them, those don't want you to be seen. And a lot of the information, that's why we worked hard with Richard Grove and Lisa. We're just like going, look, we need to make sure that your stuff is there forever because this is important stuff. Tell us about your experience with that, how you came to get the confidence to, do this and talk. We'll talk about your show real quick and the autonomy program that you did with Richard and Lisa and, what you're doing now, and you're going on walk about your family. And you got kind of a little accent of something there. Is that Irish?
It could be. I get accused of that quite often. My wife's from near Belfast, Northern Ireland. Plus, I lived abroad 18 years of my life. In fact, I only moved back to Texas 4 years ago.
So it's a combination of Texas and Irish.
Yeah. Years ago, it was a lot stronger. But having been back now almost 4 years, I would like to think I get it back. But I can't win. When I'm in Ireland, they know I'm American. And
you talk funny.
You're
just a funny talker, which adds to it. That's how, everybody's got a shtick. A little bit of interesting listening
year,
there.
I'd say a year ago, I was just a normal consumer of the the truth movement, if that's what you like. I started listening to Peace Revolution podcast and joined the Tragedy and Hope community.
Yeah, the 20 hours of, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that you want to know everything about something, just go to Tragedy and Hope and Richard Grove would tell you about it.
Two shows, the Tragedy and Hope and the Corbett Report, literally changed my life. Once I caught wind of them, and I remember I drove a lot in Spain, and I would just put them on and just taking notes. And it was a slow transition. It still is. We never stop learning. But a year ago, I was a consumer, and then I joined Richard's Autonomy Season 1, and it's life skills that everybody needs to become a more autonomous person.
You know what was amazing to me is Red Pill last year was in Connecticut, like the week or two before Porcupine Freedom Festival and Forkfest, and Richard and Lisa came there. It's always good. And I, dragged him kicking and screaming after years, get your ass to, the pork. I don't know if he ever told you this. I'll tell you this story in a little bit. But for him to be there, and it came from Red Pill, and he showed pictures of how many of you went. It was kind of like 50 people or something, a couple of dozen. It was a lot just from his classes.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, that had to be head swelling for Richard.
Yeah, and we came from everywhere. I think the furthest away was Jim Hood came from Hawaii. We had Federico came from Mexico. Philip came from the Netherlands. And most of us just came from wherever. There was quite a few Canadians that showed up. It was a fantastic
get
together.
Well, what is the need? Is it the need for the truth, the need to, be able to express it, to share it? What was autonomy is a life skill that gave what to most people? What are they looking for? What did they get?
Well, as you said, as Rosa kept saying, all of the above, communication skills, entrepreneur skills, whatever a person needs, they're missing. Autonomy, Richard helps show them the way of how to figure out how to put it together.
I go to Richard, I said, I need one of your graduates to help in the social media if we're working on doing, I'm hiring of, freaking fork it over.
You need something, you throw a rock at autonomy, there's going to be somebody there with the skills to
wait on you now.
Now, social media is not my forte, but it turned out I was good at the gift of the gab because in Spain, that's what I did. I was an English teacher. I went into companies. I taught business people. And honestly, we go through the grammar and all of that, but realistically, when you do this, it's having a conversation. So with the interviewing that we started doing in autonomy, I did an interview with Richard, and then I got James Corbett on, and from there I thought, I like this because there's a war out against us, as you know, and I just want to become another voice because we need everybody screaming the truth from whatever platform is possible.
It's good to have the resources to pull upon, so it's like one less thing I got to do. There's so much to be done. And when they go, yeah, but you do this better than this guy, or you don't do it as good as this guy, you know, I'm going, I don't care. It's one less thing I got to do. You know, somebody else is doing. So when you had like, same guys, you know, Richard Grove and James Corbett. We have James Corbett on every Wednesday. We do a podcast. And we've been interviewing him regularly for, a few years. And the reason that I chastise Richard a little bit, because Richard is, man, he can make use of the internet system of Windows I got and kind of the platform of I'll show you how to do it, and got enormous amounts of abilities and using the legacy system. James Corbett is kind of, but man, we gotta save our stuff somewhere, dude, because they're going to shut us down, I guarantee. So he didn't build his empire on, you know, YouTube clicks or something. So he was one of the only ones that understood how important this was to be subscriber-based, get off, which is what we're opening up, hopefully, for Red Pill. We're, you know, trying to get everything all finished now to do the subscription thing. We have been working on it for a long time. And I'm just going, yep, I need these guys' stuff saved forever. So we are changed 7,000 videos of Luke. We got all of the Corbett Report, all the articles, all the video and everything on interplanetary file sharing, IPFS. We have all of our pirate stuff, Freedom's Phoenix, and we're setting up the mechanism by which to make it faster and better and pirate boxes of whatever. Why? Because I know that this information is what is the most dangerous thing to they, them, those.
Absolutely.
It is, that, you know, because you want to know something about something, you go listen to the 20-hour of New World Explain It to You by Richard Grove, and then you don't think you know. Corbett, he kind of does it tighter in the video of an hour and a half, 2 hour of the conspiracy of whatever the hell. Boom, and then you know. So what do?
Well, the bit of good news on that front is since I've started doing this, it's really opening. I did not realize how many people are out there doing this who are aware.
They don't want you to know.
Yeah, I didn't know. And I was a bit closed. You know, I kept, for me, the Corbett Report, Peace Revolution, what's going on? I follow as well James Evan Pilato at MediaMonarchy.com for, you know, he does a good job of updating the news from a freedom-minded point of view. But I've been pleasantly surprised at how many people like myself are just out there making podcasts, just trying to get the message out there. So that's been on a good note, because as you know, as it's a race against time, and I would be obviously very interested in learning about the
interplanetary file sharing.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, it's not interplanetary file sharing is inspirational in the fact that it's a noted memory retention that you can have your own hard. That's what that desk is over there behind us. So I'm cleaning up all this stuff to get access to, you know, that workstation over there. It's a Raspberry Pi with a 2 terabyte hard drive that we put all of James Corbett, Freedom's Phoenix, Pirates, Larkin Rose, We Are Changed, Conscientious Resistance, Peace Revolution. All it's all boom. You get it. You order it. I got it. You plug into Ethernet and the power, boom, you're a node and forever and always, and it all syncs up. If you're on this network, what happens when you load up to the interplanetary file sharing, it pins the files and it copies on all the people that have those nodes.
So the more the merrier.
The more, the better. Because when somebody requests a show, a file, what happens is interplanetary file sharing goes to their closest node, of which there are tens of thousands. It goes to the closest node and caches it on that. So the more that it's used, the more it scales and the faster it goes. So the more that you use it, the faster it goes, not slower. That's the point. And if you have a synced up link of these nodes that we're building now, if you have them all synced up, well, they always are the seed or the pinning. They call it pinning. So it's like the seed files. So if I have, every time James puts up something, I put up something, you know, Richard puts up something, boom, it syncs up with all these others and ready to propagate throughout the universe. So I'm going, okay, let's do that. How come they're not doing that? Because Filecoin was the crypto to help you get paid, incentivized for storing the data and distributing the data. So you that's how you mine or earn these cryptos. The thing is that they're having a problem with how do you not game the system. Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff I stored and a bunch of stuff I disseminated and give me a bunch of Filecoin. I mean, yeah. So while they're worried about how they're going to monetize, they go, wait, time out. But it works, right? I can store it. And well, what if my incentive is I want to, like, store it? Well, then I can store it, right? Well, then let's store it. What the hell are you guys waiting on? Boom. So we did it. So that is why we're just pushing, you know, this tech into people's minds. Then you go to mesh networking. You're off DOD. You go to satellite. You're off of the DOD's Department of Defense of Internet of Worldwide. We rule you. So this is why we're doing it, is so that data is immutable. It never goes away. So how do they find it? Then you get in IPFS search engines of the terminal, blah, 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 blah. It'll go. Now, Ernie, you know, somebody else will do it, and you're going, how are you going to make money on it? God, you're confusing me with someone that gives a crap. What happens when the century of enslavement never goes away? What happens when the Peace Revolution audios never go away? What happens? You see my point? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just inspiring, and we did it, and you guys can suck it and get over it.
Yeah.
You know, you did it wrong. Yeah, but I did it. So bite me.
Honestly, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard was it learning the process, learning how to do this?
I have a secret power. Because, you know, Captain Mark has, you know what his Marvel comic X-Men secret power is? He knows a guy.
Yeah.
So I just knew the people. They're doing, like, you know, the pulling of the videos from YouTube, all that kind of stuff. Guy named Thomas Friedman out of Missouri. You know, Friedman, he's just like, hey, man, I want to help. You know, so he starts pulling all the videos off, and he starts loading them into the system. Derek Slopey, Agris Hosting, our IT department guy, goes, yeah, this is an important thing. I can work on this. Kind of a little bit, and we're done.
Yeah.
You know, we had it ready for a Norcopoco this last February. And what was the first thing we did? Freedom's Phoenix, Pirates Without Borders, James Corbett. And we did just to show that, look, this stuff is forever, ever, never going away forever. Now bite me.
So you obviously we want to, small time podcasters like myself, we all need to get on board with this.
Yes, but it is not ready for prime time super fast of it's the greatest, that's where you're going to have, and they always go, you got to go where the people are, that kind of thing. I never listened to that, and it's not because I don't understand what they're saying. You want to get it out in the most people to replicate that kind of stuff. And I go, one, you think you are, it's just like they keep the wire live, so you think that it's working, you know, yeah, kind of thing. And you're in this echo chamber, or you're just talking to the same million people or something. Look, I got so many 100,000 of woo-hoo-hoo. It doesn't matter. They make absolutely certain you're walled off to not breaking out. So if you have something that is when it's the most important time, Super Bowl time of century of enslavement of the Federal Reserve, of they're going to change, and it's gone. Demonetized, deplatformed, and it says for you to be able to watch century of enslavement about the Federal Reserve System, James Corbett, you have to be logged in and prove that you're at least 18
years
of age.
Isn't that ridiculous?
No, it's exactly what they want. They don't want high school kids learning and doing a report
but
on.
But to be expected, we, you know.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell did you think was going to happen?
Should I bother with a YouTube channel?
You know, what we did is we haven't for years. Since 2009-10, I stopped doing all of the media. You know, we have a YouTube page, and we have, you know, a Facebook, and we have Twitter, and I just, yeah, whatever is automatic, and it goes, and people, I don't care. Well, Ernie, you got to put, I said, when I come back is when I go, hey, we're back. I just want everybody, look, hey, over here, we're here to say, we're over there. So that's the only use that I have these guys. And immediately, within, you know, a certain amount of time, Facebook, you don't get live stream on there anymore. And I go, damn, I got to go a month? I must not have been doing it right or something, you know? So this is, you know, we're looking at it from a totally different perspective. Is because I know when it's Super Bowl time, when it really counts, when the Fed started raising or lowering interest rates, when they started raising their balance sheet, when they started all this kind of stuff, guess what happened? Century of enslavement's gone. When people are looking for Federal Reserve stuff, it was the number one pop-up on YouTube. It was the number one, hell no. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
So all these people are arguing about whatever. They don't even want to have the discussion because they need to get through one more election cycle. They then get through the 2020 and I have to address this stuff, kind of dodge that one for another four. You know, so this is, I understand what the real battle is. The battle is for you knowing what the hell is going on and know who to blame and what to blame. So I look at it totally differently. You know, the support that I have and what I'm doing is to be able to aggregate and support people like you guys, like James and Richard and other people that get, and Rosa. And so I push, I go, whoa, look out here, baby. Let's see what's up. Now, what I'm looking to do now, we have not done a big subscription kind of, we built Freedom's Phoenix. It's very complicated. It has magazines and newspapers and, you know, all kinds of different lists and powers that you could do as an individual for activism and all that. Well, it's because that's how I use it. It's for me. Now we're going to set it up so that people connect for 2020. They're going to need this kind of information, the tools that we have here. So we're going, all right, we're not going to take anything away, but you want these extra tools? You got to pay.
Yeah,
rock and roll, and you got, oh, you want to be secret? Well, you, there's plenty of things you can do and pull off here, but no, we're going to be active. We're in their face now.
Yeah,
here we go. And when we got Bumper Hornberger, Jacob Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation, run for Presidente, libertarians, plus all the other, you know, libertarians doing their shtick and have, okay, we might, you know, have something worthy of we get to talk about, because what's going to happen? The Republican, Democrat, they, them, those, Justin Amash and the Coke-to-Puss of whatever, they're going to come in, oh, you libertarians are doing it wrong. We need some Republicans to tell you how to do it right. And we're going, yeah, maybe not. So we're going to see it. Well, you're doing it right. See, you shoot yourself in the foot. By what? Not going down your banking, doing kind of whatever, bite me. So this is 2020 the year? Well, guaranteed freaking it's one election cycle closer to the, here it goes.
Yeah, to whatever they've got, whatever's coming.
Well, what do you think's coming?
Military state, that the police state. You know, I mean, Rosa Quarry, she clearly spelled out what, in the bigger picture, what they're trying to. They're absolutely trying to control all property rights, land control. They're insane. They're absolutely insane.
I'm going to be, you know, tell you what, the little old Ernie, little old studio, little old Phoenix. Well, yeah, just little old. Did little old, little baby Ernie. You know, can I have an international impact again, you know, which we do on a regular basis, is timing. You wait and you get built up and you're ready. Timing. And what is it that I start getting this done? If it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land.
Yeah.
I get that. I win. Na-na-na-na-na-na, freaking, I don't give a crap how many votes somebody got for this guy. I win. And for the win, can I occupy my own land? Well, what are they going to say? Don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I just want them to say it. Say it. Either I can or I can't. You know?
Yeah.
You know, say it. Feel me?
So what's going to happen next weekend then? We're all meeting up again here at Red Pill?
Yeah. You know, make them say it. Well, what I'm going to do is I'll take my stuff. We'll do interviews and everything there and just talk. And I'll have some trinkets and trash. And, you know, I ordered some books and, you know, different things that we got. But the main thing is I think yeah, letters of Captain Mark. There's a few I want to do. I got, you know, some trinkets and trash that we've been making. I didn't plan on going, you know, until recently. We had G. Ebert on, and he's
well,
like,
we didn't even know it was going on until he came to a Q&A in the Autonomy Group, and we're all hanging out with him. Richard let me interview him on this Q&A session, and he just dropped that on us. Even Richard said, well, we only found this out about 2 days ago, and I think this was about 4 weeks ago. I don't know how long they've been planning it, but it is exciting nonetheless.
You know, they're like any other activist or kind of in, on somebody's job. You know, they're so we've been helping them. We put ads up here and we interview the guests and everything. But you look at the list and you go, damn. Now, like Dr. Timothy Ball, the climatologist guy, he just won his case against they, them, though, the hockey stick guy. We're going to, and they lost. Of course, you don't hear this anywhere else. You know, it's all yeah. about, I went and saw. What's it called? No Safe Spaces, the Prager movie. It's
okay,
a documentary.
No, I haven't seen that, no.
You know, I went and saw it with a friend, Dr. Frank Tamburi, the Trump Report. Got to go see it. And I go, all right, let's go see it. And our wives went and saw it the night before, and they're kind of, yeah, you probably like it. And it's really nothing earth-shattering other than showing that the social justice warrior, non-playing character, NPC, you know, kind of shaming you into the pressure of violence, of Antifa, whatever the hell is going on, you shall not speak on our, you know, hippie campus of something, even if you're a hippie, if it doesn't do what we want. I mean, I'm like, what? That's why I was asking Rosa. Have they shouted you down? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going, what the hell is going on? Well, this, they kind of depict what's happening and what's going on. But the thing I got more information on that I didn't anticipate is a lot of these adventures, a lot of these things that had happened had a conclusion. They settled out of court. They rehired. They fired. They did whatever. And more of justice that we would think being done was done. You know, the bad guys got punished, good guys got some compensation or something, but you never hear about that. They got what they wanted. They got this, you know, browbeaten, get woke or go broke or get woke and go broke or whatever.
When you say you never hear about that, you do hear about that in the alternative media, but
right,
yeah, not in the mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. We aggregate from, you know, and you'll see on Free. You ever go to Freedom's Phoenix, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was gonna come in earlier. Actually, when I open up my desktop, it's set there. The headlines are always there. My wife and I always kind of go through the latest articles to see what's going on. Yeah.
What's your impression? I mean, a lot of people, they go, well, that's not very libertarian there. Or that's, I go, hey, man, that's not what it is. It's a wide radar screen of what they're doing.
Well, yeah, my impression is you put up any relevant stories that are just to give people an idea of what's going on. There's no judgment there. You know, let people make their own judgment. And I like how you click on it and you get an overview of the article, but then you've got the source. If you want to read further, click on the original source and it takes you to
it. Yeah, you know what I didn't like? I mean, when we first started, a lot of the guys that, you know, they go, you know, missiles launched, details at 11. Like, I go, no. If I can't figure out what it is from the summary on the front page, then don't put it up. Don't make me have to go into this. I don't got time for this stuff. There's like 70 a day here.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a, but there's a lot of power that we have in this. And what we're doing is demonstrating. See, I use it so much because it's customized for me. Because I can hit save link and it goes to my favorites. You have all these things. I lost it. Where was it? You can go click, 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 click. And they go to your own page on Freedom's Phoenix. Yeah. That is an aggregate of the ones that you like, and then you can delete them after you talk about them. It's good for show prep.
Yeah.
You know, it's good for the end of the week kind of summary of whatever, which is what we're going to be start doing. And I think my first video that we're doing in this 2020 POTUS subscription thing is going to be done after we do Red Pill, and the people will take some little segments and snippets and make a introductory here we go, because I know what's coming. It's going to be an awakening of the fourth turning of whatever hell you want to call it.
So do I dare ask, what do you think is going to happen 2020?
People are going to realize that they're freaking just general public opinion and they suck.
I hope so.
And then what? I don't know. You know, it's that they suck everywhere. So then, and then what? Well, they're going to start going back to local and we want to defend against, oh, no, you're not allowed to pass an ordinance, a law, or free, or undo some, or
I would
be
like
able to be more free. You're not allowed to do that. Why?
I would like to think that every election cycle, it kind of sends more and more people down the metaphorical rabbit hole, or make them take the metaphorical red pill, if you like. Once the change that they're expecting doesn't happen, the new puppet that is put in office does a complete opposite turn of what they say they're going to do. How many times is it going to take for this to happen for people to realize it doesn't matter?
You know, as always, one more time, you know, but there's a lot. This is what I share with my audience a lot so that they understand, skip to the end, what's this about? General public opinion. That's it. It's just, you know, my opinion is they're liars and they suck and I don't want to, you know, then boom, you get change. You know, it doesn't stick. You can trick somebody and, you know, and get some celebrity or somebody get elected on two chickens in every pot or something, yeah. You know, but you can't fix it from the inside if you don't have support from outside. So my thing is that I don't give a crap, you know, election, yeah, whatever. My thing is that if we all just have the freedom is the answer, what's the question? Politicians run and jump in front of that parade because it's a parade.
Yeah.
All you do, they're just doing this fictitious, just want you to, they can't convince you, but they want to confuse you and convince you that your neighbors are convinced. You know, well, they're the ones that all voted. You're the only one that voted for the guy. I go, bullshit. I don't believe for 1 minute that everybody's voting for all this kind of crap that you kind of, either they're not voting or you're skewing the whatever, I don't care.
The odds are stacked against people because, you know, they've been indoctrinated through a public education system that is designed to make them think exactly the way that they do think. And also you combine that with the power of the mainstream media and all of these combinations come into effect. Yeah, Alex Newman gave a fantastic presentation a few months ago on autonomy on the Common Core. And I knew there was something wrong with Common Core, but it doesn't matter. I don't put my kids in school. But after I watched that presentation, man, it scared me. It scared me because my kids are going to have to interact with people that have been educated with this Common Core. And, you know, that's what scares me is they're going to get out in the real world and they're going to be some really scary, not scary, but people who are going to be very difficult to reason with in this world.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, I'm you know, when's the next Lovolution? When's the next, you know, because I'm really encouraged by Jacob Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation. And I'm going, okay, this gives another bite at the, and, you know, behind the scenes, they were encouraging me to be part of and kind of just like they did with the Ron Paul thing. And I go, nah, you don't want me. I don't want to be on a list that you're going to want to take me off of anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be crazy. So, yeah, I'm just going, no, you're better off than me. Just, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I got your back. You kind of, you guys do whatever. And I'm over here. And the reason is because I don't want to be limited. I, you know, whatever, you know, it's like, well, we got to, you know, fill out some paperwork of how you, no, you don't. It's called the First Amendment of suck it. I can do whatever the hell I want. I'm going to do what I want. So this is, well, what am I going to do? I don't know, but it's going to be whatever I want. So is it going to be, you know, more, oh, you'll like this. So we got Pirates Without Borders. I don't know if you know about pirates, right? So we're going, God, do we do a pirate pack? You know, political action committee, and we fill out paperwork, and we go do pirate stuff, and you give money. Kind of, yeah, I'm going, nah. But I like a pack of pirates. You know, pirates against the crown. You know, I'm going, yeah, a pack of pirates. That's what we'll do. So they're going, damn it. There they go again, you know, being all the contrary and everything. And I'm going, hell yeah, pack of pirates. Woohoo! It took us probably an hour to come up with that. I think it was Bob Anderson, my friend. He was like, we were sitting there driving, and he's going, I go, yeah, pack a pirate. I go, what would, yeah, how did he? He goes, well, Pirates Against the Crown. I'm like, I don't know why I didn't think of that. Holy crap. So this is how this stuff happens. It's in a car ride, you know, from. And I'm looking forward to this because I know what's going to happen. It's going to be guys like you will take it and run with it. And the one thing, I went through this twice before. In 1994, it was now retired federal judge John Buttrick was a libertarian candidate for governor back then.
Okay.
And then the governor get him out of politics. They appointed him Superior Court judge, and he went on up through the federal, and he now retired and libertarian. Used to be chairman of the platform committee for Libertarian Party, hardcore libertarian. And I'm going, woohoo! So in 94, head down, plow. I didn't, whatever he said, you know, I may not do exactly kind of whatever, but I didn't have to make excuses for him. I could just bring attention to him. That was my goal. Then Ron Paul came. When the Ron Paul thing happened, all I did is I called Kent Snyder, and it was like January of 07. It was right when, you know, my senior editor put the story up. I saw it Friday morning like everybody else that they created the exploratory committee on we're going to have a blue ribbon panel on think about running to something. And I go, is this true? And Kent goes, yeah, if we can rag, whoa, it's true? Talk to the hand, man. I don't have nothing to do with your crap. Because you guys want to do Republican and having Captain Jack. Nope, you guys just do whatever you're going to do. Woo-hoo! And he came March 29th, my birthday. The first campaign stop was here in Arizona. They went and raised $30,000, $40,000 at some Paradise Valley or whatever. And we're at the airport with the Ron Paul Lovolution. And they're like, yeah, sure you want to do revolution? We're not. The campaign's got to. I go, hey, man, talk to the hand. This is all reason why I want to have nothing to do. You guys don't get to say what we get to do.
Yeah.
Na-na-na-na freaking nah. So I just get over it. By May, the campaign's like, okay. Now, Ron understood more than this campaign because he had, you know, Republican, whatever the heck. But Ron understood. You know, Ron was a little bit more, yeah, I get it. You know, it's all good. Thanks for letting us join your revolution. Yep.
Yeah.
So he got it. So now that takes off. Well, what's going to happen with like Bumper or any other campaign here. Now you have libertarian free staters supporting Tulsi Gabbard, you know, for Democrats, just to screw with the Democrats and them being anti-war and on. Then I got an anti-war Democrat that's rising up against the rest of them because are you freaking kidding me? And then you have Trump. I'm the anti-war guy, a Republican. Are you kidding me? Then we got Bumper Hornberger's going to come out and go, and I'm anti-war. So yeah, I'm going, when the hell have we had a POTUS 2020 or POTUS any race where you got them vying for who's more anti-war? When the hell has that happened?
Yeah, but we'll see what the reality is.
Whoever, I don't care. Yeah. It's the fact that it's even a possibility that there are candidates doing. So, of course, it's going to be like what Rosa said. They're going to come out. Oh, hell no. Man, we got to be for the war and the poor Syrians or the Kurdish of something. The left all comes out about how Trump, he's getting out, you know, prematurely if we got to have a war. And I'm going, you guys just keep doing that shit, you morons.
Yeah.
So, but what are we up against? We need guys like you. You know, just you get educated, you get out and you spread the word and you got kind of one more voice. One freaking less thing I got to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can help.
Doing the best I can. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to meeting more new people here coming up Thursday. When are you getting there? Friday, Saturday?
We leave Thursday afternoon, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, John Sneason's coming this afternoon. You know, so we go pick him up at the airport. I got to get the editing so I can make that. I got to go pick him up at the airport, and then we'll hang for a few days, and he'll all drive up there and back and so on and kind of co. Because I've been begging him to come hang out, you know, him and his wife, and then his wife doesn't come.
Where's he live? Where's
in
he
Canada, going? Winnipeg or something.
Yeah.
You know, and his wife. Yeah, I will let John stay anyway. You know, but, you know, I really wanted he and his wife to meet Donna and so on because, you know, I really like his approach, his mind. He's just a nice guy. So I look forward to spending time with him. But I got to get the editing so I can go get him at time in the airport. Well, thanks for coming by, Chris. Pimp out your show and what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much for having me. My website is truthconduits.com, and at the moment I'm just now editing the 15th episode, but it's been a very fantastic experience.
Truth Conduit, CONDUIT, not an S, so it's truthconduit.com.
yeah, because you know, like the mediator, whoever I'm interviewing speaks the truth, and I would like to pass that along. That's the idea.
Passing it along. We're passing along. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming in, man. It was good to meet you. I'll give you the tour here real quick. Right after I go to the bathroom. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I don't use the bathroom. I'm special. Peace, guys.